Morning, we're on Sadi Dalet of an Aleph and Ein Yaakov Vavar, page Kuftet Zayin, letter Ayin. Gemara is going to Darshan in two parts. Pasuk Yishaya Perik Yud, Pasuk Tet Zayin. It says, Lachin Yishalach Adon Hashem Tzvakot Mishmanav Razon. Therefore, the Master Hashem will send a leanness among his fatted ones. Official Art Scroll translation. And then the pasuk continues, "V'tachat kvodo yekad yekod ki kod esh." And instead of his glory, a burning will burn like a blaze of fire. That is the pasuk. So the first darshan is the first half. Lachein yishlach Adon Hashem tzvakot b'mishmanav razon. Therefore, the Master Hashem will send a leanness among his fatted ones. Mishmanav, as the word shamein, fat. My mishmanav razon. What does that mean? What's a drasha? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yevoch Hizkiyah Sheyesh Lo Shmona Shemot V'Parah Misancher Sheyesh Lo Shmona Shemot. Let Hizkiyah, who has eight names, come and take vengeance from Sancherev, who has eight names. Hizkiyahu Dichtiv Ki Yelad Yulalanu Bein Yitalanu Vatiya Misra Al Shichmo V'Igra Shmo Pele Yoetz Kil Gibor Avi Ad Sar Shalom. Those are the eight names. Gemara says, Vaika Chizkiyahu. What about Chizkiyahu? It's a ninth name. Gemara says, that's a description. Shechizko ka, that Hashem strengthened him. Devar acher, Chizkiyahu shechizek yitzir levim shoshamayim, that he strengthened the Jewish people to Hashem, as we will see later, but we've mentioned a number of times already. There was a great deal of Torah learning in Chizkiyah's time. Sancherev. What are the eight names of Sancherev? These come from eight different places in Tanakh that you would not know according to the Pshat is all the same person. He's called Tiglat Pileser, in Melach Beis, Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Chav Tet. He's called Tilgat Pilneser, in Divrei Yamim. He's called Shalmaneser, in Pasuk that we'll see momentarily in Melach Beis. He's called Pul, he's called Sargon, he's called Asnapar, Rabba, Viakira, which is three names. Asnapar, the great and venerated one. Vaika Sancherev, what about name Sancherev? Shesichato Riv, that means that he spoke in an argumentative way. Devar Acher, Shesach, V'nicher, Dvarim, Klafei Mala. Or it means that he spoke brazenly towards Hashem. Maral says, I actually mentioned part of this last time. So Maral says that since Chizkiyah was worthy, almost worthy of being Mashiach, Mashiach is on the eighth level. What does that mean? Mashiach is on the eighth level. So since Olam Hazeh was created in 7 days, certainly the days of Mashiach will be greater than Olam Hazeh. So that's called the eighth level. And he says, therefore, the Gemara says that the kinor, harp, or whatever that instrument is that will be used in the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Mashiach will have eight strings. That's the symbolism of that. And Sancherev was on the eighth level, just like Chizkiyah was on a supernatural level of good, Sancherev was on a supernatural level of bad. We'll see more about Sancherev momentarily. Mara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei ma zachar oto rasha likroto asnapar rabba viakira. Why did that rasha, Sancherev, merit to be called the great and venerated Asnapar, it's in Pasuk in Ezra. B'bnei shlo siper b'gnuta shel Eretz Yisrael, because despite all of his other faults, he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. Shnemar, as it says in Melachim Bet, Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Lamed Bet. Now, before we read that, let me give some historical context. We mentioned before, Chizkiyah was a king of Yehuda at the end of the kingdom of the 10 northern tribes. They were exiled before, a little more than 100 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So in Malachim Beis Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Tet, it says, "Vayhi b'shana revi'it la'melech Chizkiyahu, in the fourth year, in the fourth year of King Chizkiyahu, hi hashana shvi'it l'Hoshea ben Ela melech Yisrael, which is the seventh year of Hoshea ben Ela, the king of Yisrael. Allah Shalmaneser melech Ashur al Shomron ve'atzer le'ah. Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur, came upon Shomron and besieged it." So the pasuk says that it was Shalmaneser who besieged Shomron. We just learned in Gemara that that's just another name for Sancheirav. Va'elkedua miktzei shalosh shanim mishnat sheish lachizkia, and they besieged it for 3 years. at the end of the sixth year of Chizkia, hishnat teisha loshea melech Yisrael, which is the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Israel, Nilkadash Shomron. Shomron was captured, and Shomron was the capital of the 10 northern tribes. Vayagel melech Ashur Yisrael Ashura, the king of Ashur exiled Israel to Ashur. Vayanchem, and he brought them to rest. He placed them Bachlach uvachavor Nahar Gozan Verimadai. They were exiled to these places, Bachlach, Chavor, Nahar Gozan, and Are Madai. We will talk in a later shiur about where the 10 lost tribes are. Nothing in this pasuk or in our Gemara today about a river called Sambation, anything like that. List these places, and Gemara is going to give them other names. Bachlach, Chavor, Nahar Gozan, and Are Madai. Why were they exiled? Al asher lo shamu b'kol Hashem Elokeihem, because they did not listen to the voice of Hashem, their Elohim. Vayavru et brito, they transgressed his covenant. Eit kol asher tziva Moshe eved Hashem v'lo shamu v'lo asu. Everything that Moshe, the servant of Hashem, had commanded, they did not listen and they did not do. About 15 psukim later, actually, one more pasuk here. Uva'abar esrei shana l'melech Chizkiyah, in the 14th year of Chizkiyah, Allah Sancheirav melech Ashur al kol arei Yehuda b'tzurat ve'ipaseim. Then Sancheirav invaded Yehuda and captured all of the fortified cities except Yerushalayim. And it goes on and describes how he besieged Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyah paid, what's the word for it? Think of the word. One king pays another king. Tribute. Thank you. Paid tribute to him, and he went away. And then a few years later, he came back, and he sent someone to speak to the people of Yerushalayim to try to induce them to surrender. His name was Rav Shakeh. He was an apostatized Jew. Vayamod Rav Shakeh vayikra b'kol gadol yudit. So he stood outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and he called in a loud voice in Jewish, Vaidaber, it's the first recorded instance of someone speaking Yiddish, apparently. Vaidaber, Vayomer, Shimud Var HaMelech Gadol Melech Ashur. Listen to the words of the great king, the king of Ashur. Koramar HaMelech, so said the king, Al Yasi Lachem Chizkiyahu, Ki Lo Yuchal Atzil Lachem Yado. Don't let Chizkiyah mislead you, because he cannot possibly save you from Sancheirav. And don't let, so Chizkiyahu himself cannot save you. And don't let Chizkiyahu talk you into having bitachon in Hashem, saying, Hatzel yatzelanu Hashem, that Hashem will save us. And the city will not be given into the hands of Ashur. Al tishvu al Chizkiyahu, don't listen to Chizkiyahu. Ki ko amar melech Ashur, because so said the king of Ashur, Asui ti bracha, make a bracha with me. Rashi and Radak say means make a peace treaty with me. Utsu elai, and come out to me. V'chlu ishkafno, and eat from your orchards, from your vineyards, rather. V'ishtenato, and eat from your figs. And as they were besieged inside the city, they couldn't get to their fields. So Sancheriv is saying through this messenger, make peace with me, and then you can go to your fields and eat. Ushtu ish mei boro, and you can drink from your wells. Ad bo'i, until I come back, I have to leave right now, go fight another enemy, but I will come back. V'lakachti etchem el eretz kartzachem, and I will take you to a land as good as your land. Eretz dagan v'tirosh, a land of of grain and wine. Eretz lechem u'charmim, a land of bread and vineyards. Eretz zeit yitzhar, a land of olive oil, udvash and honey. V'chiyu, and you will live, v'lotamutu, and you will not die. V'al tishmu el chizkiyahu, don't listen to chizkiyahu. Ki yasit etchem l'mor Hashem yatzileinu, who will incite you to fight me by saying Hashem will save us. And he goes on, did Hashem save this kingdom for me? And did Hashem save that kingdom for me? And there's no God who can save me. So he
save you.
Who save you, rather. There's no God who can save you. He blasphemed against Hashem through his agent, Rav Shakeh. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'pnei ma zachau Torah shali kroto asnapar rabba v'yakira. Why did he merit to be called the great and venerated asnapar? B'pnei shlo siper b'gnuta shel Eretz Yisrael. Because he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, ad bo'i v'lakachti etchem l'eretz kartzchem. He said, until I come back and take you to a land as good as your land. He didn't say, I'll take you to a land better than your land. Take you to a land as good as your land. Rav Shmuel, Zmachok is Rav and Shmuel. Chad amar melech pikeach haya. One says that Sancheriv was smart. Chad amar melech tipesh haya. And one says Sancheriv was a fool. Laman damar melech pikeach haya. According to one who says that Sancheriv was smart, Iyamina lehu adifa mer aichu amrit kamashakrat. If he had said, I will take you to a land better than your land, they would say, you're lying. There is no place better than Eretz Yisrael. And the one who says he was a fool, because he said, I'll take you to a land as good as your land, imkein mayravutach. What kind of inducement is that? Oh, come with me, I'll take you to a land that's as good as your land. Well, if it's as good as my land, then I'm perfectly happy. Why do I have to go? I'm perfectly happy in my land.
Did he have a place in mind for this?
I don't know.
Was this Uganda?
I don't. It was the places listed in the pasuk here, Bachlach, and Chavor, and the Har Gozan, and Arei Madai. Presumably, he was going to take them to the same places he took the 10 northern tribes. I don't know. So many Mefarshim asked the question: if Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. One says he was smart because he didn't want to get caught in a lie. And one says he was a fool because if the place he's going to take them is no better than the place they are, then then what's the inducement? According to one who says he was a fool, he deserves to be complimented for not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. But according to one who says that he was smart and he didn't want to get caught in a lie, why are we complimenting him for not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael? If he had spoken ill of Eretz Yisrael, he would have been caught in a lie. So what's the praise here? So there are several different approaches in Farshim to this. One, a contemporary Perush called Kol Yisrael says, apparently Rabbi Yochanan, who compliments him for not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael, just argues with Rav and Shmuel. Or said differently, Rav and Shmuel do not think he's worthy of being praised for not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. They're giving other reasons why he said what he said, not because he didn't want to speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. So that's one approach. Second, or chronologically the first, actually, approach, is a Sanhedri Katana, which says that...
Sanhedri Katana is...
Who is it? Rav Avram Yoshua Heschel Bornstein. Lived in the late 1800s. He was rabbi of Kuznets and Mogilinsa. These are places in in Galicia. These are places that are well known for their Hasidic rebbes, but they also had rabbis, as we're going to see as well with another sefer we're going to mention today. So he says that if he didn't want to get caught in a lie, he could have said, so he couldn't say, I'll take you to a place better than your place. But he still could have spoken ill of Eretz Yisrael, because there are things you could find to criticize about Eretz Yisrael. So he could have said, you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, the bus service is whatever it is, or whatever you want to criticize. Obviously, there's no bus service in those days.
The camel service.
The camel service is slow. So maybe this isn't such a great place. And I'll take you to another place. He could have said that and not been caught in a lie. He could have found something to criticize about Eretz Yisrael. And he didn't. He just said, I'll take you to a place as good as your place. So therefore, he deserves to be complimented, praised for not looking for something to criticize about Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Sanhedrin Ketana learns. And lastly, the Rinas Yitzchak, also a contemporary formerly of Tells, now in Lakewood, says, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to fight against Og, because Og was the one who came to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Avram Avinu, and told him that Lot had been taken captive. Now, Chazal say that the reason Og did that was that he was hoping Avram would be killed in battle and then Og could marry Sarah. Nevertheless, the fact that he did a mitzvah, even with completely bad motivation, was enough of a schos that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to fight against him. So applying the same principle here, Sancheirov might have had an ulterior motive for not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. The fact is, he didn't speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. He deserves a reward for that. That's how the Rinas Yitzchak runs. Maral says that from the fact that Sancheirov did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to see shortly in the Gemara that the Jewish people of that time did speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, you see that Sancheirov actually had a level of Kedusha to him. He says that because of Sancheirov's greatness, he was close to some level of Kedusha. Perhaps this is related to the idea I mentioned last time. Maral frequently talks about how opposites are close to each other. You can't say that the sefer and the coffee cup are opposites. They have nothing to do with each other. In order to be opposites, they have to have a relationship. So perhaps this is the same idea he's saying here. Sancheirov's greatness in worldly matters, in battle, shows some connection to Kedusha. And likewise, the fact that he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael shows he had a connection to Kedusha. In contrast, the Jews of that time, we'll see shortly, did speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, and that shows that they were lacking this level of Kedusha that they should have had, and therefore they were distant from the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, from the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore could not stay there, as Maral explains. Continuing in the Gemara, now on page Kuf Chaf, Lahecha Agle Lahu. Where did Sancheirov take the 10 tribes? Not absolutely clear to me at the moment why the Gemara seems to jump. The previous Pesukim, we're talking about what he said to Yehuda, to Yerushalayim, who he did not exile. And now all of a sudden the Gemara is asking, so where did he exile the 10 tribes? Rashi says, the Gemara is asking, where are these places mentioned in the Pasuk? Bachlach, Chavor, Nahar Gozan, and Aremadai. Razutra Amarla Afrike. Razutra says, Afrike, which sounds like Africa. Again, we'll talk in a further shiur about where the 10 tribes were exiled to. Rabbi Chanina Amar Laharei Salog. Rav Hanina says to the snowy mountains. Of all Yisrael, Sipru B'Gnutah Shel Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people did speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. Ki Mato Sos, when they came to a place called Sos, Amru Shavya Ki Arin, they said, this is as nice as Eretz Yisrael. Ki Mato Almin, when they came to a place called Almin, Amru Ki Almin, this is like Almin. Almin means the world. Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, is called the Beit Olamim, the house of the world. So they're saying, this place, Almin, is as nice as Yerushalayim. The Jewish people.
The whole nation?
That question you could ask any time. The Gemara says in the Midbar also it wasn't everyone. It was a small minority, but the Torah blames everyone. So it's a fair question, and it doesn't have an answer. We do find, you bring up the Midbar, that's a good example where the Torah blames everyone for the sins of a small minority of the people. If everyone was on the same level, then nobody would sin. So when they came to a place called Sostre, Amru Al-Chad-Train, they said, this is twice as good as Eretz Yisrael. So they spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael by saying some place in Chutz-Arts was twice as good as Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Continuing the Gemara, page Kuf Chaf Aleph. So this is the second half of the pasuk that we started darshaning. B'tachat kvodo yekad yekod kikod esh. Instead of his glory, a burning will burn like a blaze of fire. What does that mean? So it's describing how Sanherib's army, 185,000 people who died in one night, how did they die? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tachat kvodo v'lo kvodo mamash. Rabbi Yochanan says, that which is in place of their kavod, but not their kavod itself. What does that mean? Kihad Rabbi Yochanan kari le mane mechavdute. Rabbi Yochanan used to call his clothes his honor. Those are the things that gave him honor, that distinguished him, were his clothes. So he is saying, he's interpreting the pasuk that only what is under their clothes was burnt, but not their clothes. These 185,000 soldiers of Sanherib, they're miraculously all in one night, their bodies are burnt up in their clothes. Rabbi Elazar Omer, their body, according to Rabbi Yochanan, their bodies were burnt up in their clothes. Rabbi Elazar Omer, tachat kvodo mamash kesrifata bnei Aaron. Rabbi Elazar says it was like the burning of the sons of Aaron. Just as by the sons of Aaron, their neshamos were burnt, but their bodies remained. Afkan, so to hear, their neshamos were burnt, and their bodies remained. Gemara continues. Tana mishmeri Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Paro shecheref batzmo, Paro who blasphemed himself. Hashem himself took vengeance on him. Now turning at the Tzadi Dalet Amud Bet in the Gemara. Sancherev, who blasphemed through a shliach, as we saw, he sent Rav Shakei to blaspheme. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took vengeance through a shliach. Paro dichtiv mi Hashem asher shma b'kolo. Paro said, who is Hashem that I should listen to him? So Hashem himself took vengeance. It says Hashem shook out the Egyptians into the sea, like shaking out a tablecloth. Hashem himself did it. And it says in Habakkuk, you trampled your horses in the sea. Sancherib, dichtiv biad malachacha chirafta. Hashem, about Sancherev, about whom it says, through your agents, you cursed Hashem. Hashem took vengeance through a shliach. As it says, a malach of Hashem came out, that a malach of Hashem came and he struck down 185,000 people in the camp of Ashur. Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papi, Rami, next page. Tiv Merom Kitzo, Tiv Melon Kitzo. The same story is found in very similar words in Yeshaya and in Malachim Beis. But in Yeshaya it says Merom Kitzo, the elevated place, Uchtiv Melon Kitzo, and in Malachim Beis it says the place where he sleeps, so to speak, the place where he lives. Amar to Rasha, that Rasha Sancheriv said, but Chilach Riv Durashamata, first I will destroy Hashem's place below, the Beis Hamikdash, and then I will destroy Hashem's home above.
And is that what he meant? Understanding what he understood. Did he think Hashem was in Shemayim and he could go after Hashem in Shemayim?
It seems so.
Or does this, to me, my first reaction might be that this is the, B'nai Israel or Shemayim, and then the temple, I don't know.
Rashi understands that Merom Kitzo is referring to the Beis Hamikdash. He calls that the Dirah Shel Mata, because the Pasuk Yirmiyah refers to the Beis Hamikdash as Merom. Marom Merishon Mekom Mikdashenu. So the word Marom refers to Beis Hamikdash, and Rashi says that's the Dirah Shel Mata, that's the abode below. And then Sancheriv says, and afterwards I will destroy the abode above. How did he think he was going to do that? The simplest explanation is vanity makes people think crazy things.
Just saying, that's a strong recognition of God above.
Correct. Well, same thing as the Migdal Bavel. They're going to build a tower to go up and fight Hashem. It's a good question. Let me, perhaps we'll come back to it. What was he thinking? The discussion of the Sancheriv and the exile of the 10 tribes continues. What I wanted to go this far to bring out the point, as Howie's pointing out, that Sancheriv was clearly he was a blasphemer. He was apparently a very big Baal Gaiva. Nevertheless, he's praised and rewarded for not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael, and that highlights the importance of not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael, that a person who's so evil and misguided and depraved, nevertheless, Chazal take the trouble to compliment him and praise him for not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. It's a sefer called Nachalat Yisrael by Yisrael Zev Horowitz, of the rabbi of Uhel in Hungary. I mentioned another place where, and he was in the same time as the Hasidish Rebbe Yismach Moshe. All of these towns, in addition to Hasid, sometimes the Hasidish Rebbe was also the rabbi. Sometimes they had rabbis who were themselves great people, who are less well known though. So in the Sefer Nachalal Yisrael, and he himself, Rabbi Yisrael Zev Horowitz, settled in Eretz Yisrael. He died, I think, in 1861. So sometime before that. Before it was the students of the Vilna Gaon from hundreds of miles north in Lithuania were settling in Eretz Yisrael. Some students of Baal Shem Tov also were settling in Eretz Yisrael. Hungarian Jews also were moving towards Eretz Yisrael, and he was one of them. He says in Chelek Aleph Perek Yud Bet of Nachalal Yisrael that after we've spoken about living in Eretz Yisrael, which is like a child living in the shadow of his mother. So obviously anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael is a child of his mother, meaning of Hashem. And we're all brothers, both those in Chutz La'aretz and those in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, you need to know that those who live in Eretz Yisrael are on a higher level. They're closer to living in the shadow of Hashem. And therefore, we have to treat them with greater brotherhood. V'ata, so he says, he brings Pasuk in Yisro about that the Mizbeach should have a ramp, not stairs, so that you could walk without separating your legs as far and not showing, not degrading the Mizbeach. he says kal vachomer, if you have to show respect for the Mizbeach, then you have to show respect for Eretz Yisrael, and kal vachomer on top of a kal vachomer for the people living in Eretz Yisrael. He says it's true, seems to be, that there was a problem in his time with Jews in Eretz Yisrael who were swindlers and thieves and encroaching on other people's property. But he says, let's not lose sight of the fact. So it's easy to criticize these people and to say, why should I live in Eretz Yisrael when there are Jews who are dishonest? He says, well, I got news for you. There are Jews who are dishonest in Hungary and Poland and Russia. So you're going to rush to condemn the Jews of Eretz Yisrael and say, I'd rather go back to where I came from so you could live among dishonest Jews there. Unfortunately, there are dishonest Jews everywhere. I don't know exactly historically what problem he was referring to, but he says that you need to know that just as in Gemara and Sukkah that we had discussed about the Yetzer Hara, that the Tzaddikim were going to see the Yetzer Hara as a mountain and the Rishayim were going to see it as a hair. We talked about that when we talked about Mashiach ben Yosef. So that we learned from that Gemara that a Tzaddik has a greater Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara challenges a Tzaddik more than challenges a Rasha. So too, the Yetzer Hara challenges Jews more than it challenges non-Jews. And since Jews in Eretz Yisrael are holier than Jews in Chutz Laaretz, the Yetzer Hara challenges them more than it challenges Jews in Chutz Laaretz. So it's not surprising that some Jews in Eretz Yisrael are not going to live up to the standards that you would think that Jews in the Holy Land should live up to. But nevertheless, keep in mind, they're in the Holy Land and you're not. So don't. So therefore, be careful what you say about them. Don't speak ill of them. In Parshas Ekev, we read about Eretz Yisrael, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud. Ki ha'aretz asher tava sham al rishta. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the land to which you are coming to inherit it, loch Eretz Yitzrayim hi, it's not like Eretz Yitzrayim, asher yitzatem misham, from which you came out, asher tizrat zarcha bishkita racha kugane arak, where you plant your seeds and you water your fields, and it's you get a green garden. V'aretz asher atem ovrim sham al rishta, the land to which you are coming, Eretz Harim Uvkaot, it's a mountainous land of mountains and valleys, Limtar Shemayim Tishtemayim, and it's dependent on the rain. If you read those psukim, sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Egypt is a beautiful, fertile land, and Eretz Yisrael is a rocky land that's not very good for agriculture. Sounds like he's criticizing Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, Lok Eretz Yitzrayim hi, it's not like Egypt. Ela tova himena, it's better than Egypt. This promise was made to the Jews when they came out of Egypt. They were afraid, maybe the land we're going to is not as nice as Egypt. So Moshe told him, it's not like Egypt, it's better than Egypt. Yachob bignutaka tuvadaber. Now, I might think that Moshe Rabbeinu was criticizing Eretz Yisrael. V'kach amar lahem, and this is what he said. Lo keretz Yitzrayim hu ela ra'ah himena. It's not like Eretz Yisrael. It's like Mitzrayim. It's worse than Mitzrayim. Tamud lomar, therefore the Torah tells us in Parshas Shlach, v'chevron sheva shanim nivnetal yifnei tzoran Mitzrayim. Chevron in Eretz Yisrael was built 7 years before Tzoan in Mitzrayim. Adam echad b'na'an, they were built by the same person. Cham banat Tzoan l'mitzrayim b'no, v'chevron l'chnan. Cham, the son of Noach, built Tzoan for his son Mitzrayim, and Chevron for his son Kenan. Derech Eretz, Adam bonet tana'e v'charkach bonet ka'ur. Normally speaking, person builds the nice one first, and then with the leftover materials, he builds something less than that. Shib soltosha rishon hu notein v'shini. He uses the dregs of the materials of the first one, the surplus material, to build a second one. The The nicer one always comes first. I have an expression, acharon acharon chaviv, which people use to mean, you know, and the best one last. What it actually means, we also like the last one. It's like if you're introducing your children, you introduce the youngest one, you say acharon acharon chaviv, it doesn't mean I like the youngest one first. It means I like the youngest one as much as I like the others. Don't think I left the one I don't like for last. So Rashi says that derech eretz is that the nicest one comes first. So you see the Chevron is nicer than so on. And Mitzrayim was the finest of all lands. As it says, Kagan Hashem, Keretz Yisrayim. In Bereshis, it says, like the garden of Hashem, Eretz Mitzrayim. And so on was the capital of Mitzrayim. And Chevron is one of the most, certainly for agriculture, worst places in Eretz Yisrael. It's incredibly rocky and not useful. And that's why it was set aside as a burial place. Is not good for much else. And nevertheless, it's nicer than so on. So if the dregs of Eretz Yisrael are better than the capital of Egypt, must be that Eretz Yisrael is better than Egypt. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could not have meant to be criticizing Eretz Yisrael. Sifsi Chachamim, commentary on Rashi, asks, how could you think? Rashi says, and you might think Moshe Rabbeinu is criticizing Eretz Yisrael. How could you think Moshe Rabbeinu is criticizing Eretz Yisrael? What does Rashi mean that you might think Moshe Rabbeinu is criticizing Eretz Yisrael? He says, Rashi's saying, you might think that naturally Mitzrayim is better. That Mitzrayim, there's natural irrigation, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, you're dependent on rain. And it's mountainous, so you have to continuously catch the water that went downhill and bring it back uphill. Hold on. So you might think that, naturally speaking, Mitzrayim is better than Eretz Yisrael. Actually, that's true. Naturally speaking, Mitzrayim is better than Eretz Yisrael. You might think, though, that that's a criticism of Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi's saying, no, that's a praise of Eretz Yisrael, that we'll be able to daven, and miraculously, Eretz Yisrael will be a fruitful, bountiful land. That's so through describing what through natural means is a negative, it brings out the specialness of Eretz Yisrael, that nevertheless, we will miraculously be sustained there. That's how Sifsei Chachamim explains Rashi. We will, in Rishon, continue tomorrow with this topic of not speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael.